You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, I've got something. I've actually shared this before, not too long ago, actually. But this has been stirring inside of me, and you know how I operate. I operate on just whatever's stirring inside, whatever's hot in me, that's what I preach. The fire I can't put out is what God's saying. I don't really go by notes per se. Sometimes I have and sometimes I don't, but they just kind of hang me up, as it were. But I've got a conference I'm going to be doing the first week of February, and I'm flying down to Guatemala City and then flying into a plane up into the Batan jungle and meeting with 150 pastors. I'm going to minister 3 days there, preach 7 times in 3 days, and then we're flying back to Guatemala City and then going south to meet with another 150 pastors for a conference there, and I'm preaching 7 times in 3 days there. So I'll be preaching 14 times in 6 days. I'll just be gone one Sunday, so I'll only miss one Sunday. But in meditating on all that, and in you know, they're wanting outlines and messages, and which I don't operate that way. Just tell me where to stand, okay? Just tell me where to stand, and I'll preach under the anointing. Sometimes I know ahead of time, sometimes I don't. But I've been studying this, and this has been stirring inside of me. Things that this is a different group of ministers, a different denomination. It's more, probably more Pentecostal. And I was stirred to really minister on who we are in Christ and what our identity is and then what our destiny is. Because a lot of people as Christians don't really understand who they are. I think the church has an identity problem. I really do. I think we're still hanging on to the past. Even when we talk about being saved, we can't say it without saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, as much as I love Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, and all the work they've done, and thank God for AA. I've got relatives that have gone through the program and gotten sober. The thing that I've always disagreed with is to stand up and say, hello, I'm Bob, I'm an alcoholic. Because what you do, you reinforce your weakness and your sin constantly. You remind yourself over and over and over and over that you're weak and that you have a weakness and an inability and so on and so forth. Instead of saying, hello, Bob, I'm an overcomer, we get up and say, hello, Bob, I'm an alcoholic. And I understand what's being said there, and I thank God for AA. Are you with me? So I'm real positive about the program. I think it's a wonderful program. But sometimes we as Christians do the same thing. You know, they'll say, oh, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you know, I'm not just an old sinner. I was a sinner. I can sin, but, you know, I've been saved. How many of you that are saved today are still lost? Well, see, that doesn't make any sense, does it? You couldn't say, I'm just no lost person that's saved. You'd have to say, I was lost and now I am saved. Now, I can sin, sure. I can sin just like a lost person can do something good. Did you know a sinner can do good works? And a saint can do bad works. But no good works a sinner does makes him a saint. And just because you did a bad thing as a saint doesn't make you a sinner. If that's the case, then we'd just be getting saved all over every day, all day long. We'd be getting saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. Paul never addresses the sinners at Rome. He never addresses the sinners at Philippi. He never addresses the sinners at Ephesus. He always addresses the saints. To the saints at Rome. And thank God for Catholics. We're pro-Catholic. I'm pro-church. But you're not a saint when you're canonized by any organization. You're a saint when you get saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You pass from darkness to light. You pass from being a sinner to a saint. Hallelujah. And then you learn how to live like a saint. And you learn to think differently, act differently, talk differently. And you start dropping off sins that you committed. You can still sin, but that's not your nature now. That's not who you are now. That's not being true to who you are. Are you with me? And we need to learn how to live as a saint, because a saint is who we are. Amen? Romans 1, first chapter of Romans. We'll go over a few passages of verses here. Anyway, meditating on that conference, I was thinking about teaching along those lines and talk about who we are and what do we say about ourselves, and you know, and then take that course to the congregation. Boy, if you reach a pastor, you reach a city. And so I'm going to hit 150 pastors in one spot, 150 in another spot. I'm excited about the conference. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. Y'all sound thrilled. Romans, the first chapter. Now, this is fascinating because it starts out, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You and I have been separated to the gospel of God, and we've been called. I am called. How about you? Well, two of you are. If you're saved, you're called. I mean, God called you. He called you to salvation. He called you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's a call. He called you to receive him. That's a call. We're all called in that respect. He said, which he promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Everybody say according to the flesh. Well, Jesus was something according to the flesh. You're something according to the flesh. I got that. I understand that. You know, I am according to the flesh one thing. But he goes on and says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See, what we need to get hold of is who we are according to the Spirit. Not who we are according to the flesh. Just realizing that Jesus was the Son of David won't save you. Do you know that? You have to realize he was the Son of God and has been raised from the dead. Just understanding what Jesus was according to the flesh won't get you saved. The only thing that gets you saved is understanding what Jesus was according to the Spirit, that he conquered hell, death, and the grave, that he was the Son of God, not just the Son of David. Are you with me? That he rose from the dead by the power of the Spirit of holiness. And so he was one thing according to the flesh. He's another thing according to the Spirit. You know, there's an old song called On My Father's Side, that actually starts out talking about Jesus, and he's born in Bethlehem, and, you know, Mary and Joseph raised him, and so on and so forth. And then it says, but on my father's side. He talks about who he is on the father's side. See, you're one thing according to flesh, you're nothing according to spirit. And really, who you are is who God says you are. You're not who you think you are. You're not even who you say you are. You're who God says you are. You may not know it. You may be ignorant of it. You may have an identity crisis, but you need to find out what God says, because that's who you are. You're not who the circumstances of life say you are. You're not just, we're many things in the natural. But see, I'm not even a human having a spiritual experience. I am a spirit having a human experience. I'm going to live on forever and ever, and so are you, somewhere. Most of us, all of us here, I'm sure, are Christians and believers in Jesus, so we've been born again. We are something according to the Spirit. You remember when Jacob came from the north back down into the Canaan land? He'd had all of his kids by that time. In fact, his wife Rachel, was in childbirth with Benjamin, the last of the 12 sons of Jacob. And in the midst of her childbirth, she died while giving birth to Benjamin. And the handmaiden, or the nursemaid that was there when she died, she called him Benoni, which means son of sorrow. And Benjamin was standing there, and he says, no, his name's not Benoni, but not Benjamin. Jacob was standing there, and he said, no, his name is not Benoni, but Benjamin, which is son of my right hand. Now, the circumstance dictated that he be called one thing. Are you with me? But you are who your father says you are. You're not who your circumstance say you are. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. We are the son of the right hand, hallelujah. We are the children of the living God. We're born again. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's what God says about us. Now, maybe you had some experience in your life, but you are not what you experience, and you are not an event. If you failed, then that's an event, not a person. Hallelujah. So Jesus was the son of, seed of David according to flesh. He was the Son of God according to the Spirit. You were lost according to the flesh. You are now saved according to the Spirit. We may be in the flesh, but we are not of the flesh. We may be born in this flesh, but we have been born again from above if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. All of heaven's paying attention. Notice it quit raining. Of course, I'll be cautious saying that. It could just start raining again here in a minute. 2 Corinthians 5, and these are classic verses that you should know. And notice what it says in the 14th verse. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. We were all dead in our sins. And Jesus died for everybody. He didn't just die for me or just for Paul or just for Bobby. He died for every single one of us because we were all dead in our sins. But, you know, it'd be crazy to say now that I'm dead, wouldn't it? I'm alive. How about you?
Yes.
I'm alive in Christ. I wouldn't say, well, I'm just a dead man that's alive. Are you out there? I'm just a lost person that's saved. See, you wouldn't say things like that, because that would, but yet we all the time, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, we'll say that, but the Bible doesn't say that about us. In fact, God's very specific about what he calls us. He calls us saints. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we'd get everything right. Doesn't mean we can't sin. But that is who we are, and that's who he made us, and that's who he called us, and that's who we need to identify with. We need to identify with our Father.
Amen.
Amen? We need to, and not be ashamed of it. Not be ashamed of our Father. Not be ashamed of who we are. Not be ashamed to stand up and say, I am a Christian. I am a saint. I am a believer. Hallelujah. Oh, man, are you one of those? Yes, I am. I say Merry Christmas, too. Okay. So he says this. He says, 15th verse, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Y'all see that? In other words, according to what they are, according to the flesh, we don't know people according to the flesh. We don't know them according to what they've done. We don't know them according to experiences they've had. We don't know them according to the flesh, who they are in the natural. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we even knew Christ after the flesh, yet we don't know him that way anymore. Ooh, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Because there's a lot we know about Jesus according to the flesh, but that's not what saved us. What saved us is what he was according to the Spirit. What saved us was the fact that he's the Son of God, not just that he was the Son of Man. What saved us is the fact that he rose victorious. I mean, took the keys of hell and death from the devil and rose a conqueror, a warrior, the Son of the living God by the Spirit of holiness. He was raised from the dead, and by the Spirit he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And that's how we know him. He is. See, the world knows Jesus according to the flesh. The world will admit that Jesus lived. They'll admit that he's, you know, the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Jesus. They'll admit a lot of things that he did. Even the Muslims admit that Jesus was a prophet. But see, they still have him in the flesh. And we don't know him that way anymore. We're aware of it. We preach it. We teach it. I understand that. But I look to him as the Son of God. I look to him according to the Spirit. I know no man after the flesh, and even though they, Paul speaking, knew Jesus according to the flesh, they did not know him that way anymore. And the next verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all catching this? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How many of you are in Christ? Okay. Now, do you just know yourself according to the flesh? You know, it always amazes me. I'm not making a political statement here or a racist statement here, because it's not racist at all. But if a person joins and becomes a citizen of a nation, let's say United States of America, and you come and you swear allegiance to the flag of this country, and you swear allegiance to our Constitution, uphold the Constitution of this country, and you learn the language of United States of America, English, you become an American. Are you out there? I've heard John Paul say this. In 1970, him and Josette, his wife, moved from France over here, went through the immigration process, became citizens of the United States of America, and he still got that French accent. You've heard Jean Paul. But he'll tell you right out, he said, I am not a French American, I am an American. I came from France, but I'm an American. And we have all these names, Mexican American, African American. Listen, if we all went with that, then half of us in here would be English American and Irish American. And are you with me? No, we're Americans. At some point, you have to identify with a cause and identify yourself and throw yourself into it and say, this is what I am, because I was born here. I have a citizenship here. I have a citizenship in heaven. Did you know that? I am a Christian. I'm not a sinner Christian. I'm not a sinner saint. I'm not a lost Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a saint. I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Y'all out there. Now, you know, having said that, of course, is there anybody from anywhere that gets saved is still what they were before they got saved? No, they're saved now. And even in this country, you know, if anybody comes and becomes a part of this country, they're an American. It's not, there's no black, there's no white, there's no, are you with me? There's no Hispanic, there's no Asian, they're just American. We're Americans if we become a citizen of the United States of America. When you become a Christian, it should be the same way. Why do we still have that hangover when it comes to church? Are you out there? As long as you think that way, you still got one foot in the world. You still got one foot in this, and the devil still has a hold of that foot. And just like any old joke, he's pulling your leg. Are you with me? He is pulling your leg. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to act that way anymore. That's not who you are now. You've been born again. You need to see yourself after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Amen? And why is it we still know ourselves that way? It's amazing to me. We have known ourselves this way, but we are not supposed to know ourselves this way any longer. We no longer know Jesus after the flesh. We should no longer know ourselves after the flesh. I know we have memories. We understand what we did and who we've been and what we've said and all of our old acquaintances and all those things. But, you know, I've been saved. I've run across some of my old friends I used to hang out with before I got saved. I've witnessed to a lot of them, ministered to a lot of them. One in particular, his name was, y'all have heard me talk about Bubba. Bubba Bush was his name. I was witnessing to him, and I was on a construction job years ago and telling him about Jesus and telling him I'd gotten saved. And Bubba looked at me and he says, Michael Williams, he said, I know you. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. But see, I told him, I said, no, Bubba, you don't know me. You knew who I used to be. You knew who I was. I'm not that person anymore. I am somebody else. Are you with me? You know, they did that with Jesus. You know, Mark, the 6th chapter, talks about him going to his own hometown, and he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. And here's what their unbelief boiled down to. Oh, isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? Aren't his brothers here? Aren't his sisters here? Who does he think he is? Where does he get this kind of power that he does these things? Are you with me? They couldn't get past the flesh. We can do it with ministry. We can do it with anybody. I mean, people can get up and minister, and all we see is their sin or their flesh or something they did, or are you with me? And we can't get past that. We don't like their hair. Are you with me? Or don't like the fact they don't have hair or whatever, you know. I'm not pointing anybody, Dick. I didn't mention you at all, okay? So I'm not. You know, we're looking at the outside, and we're not looking at the inside. It's the same thing happened when Samuel was told to go pick out a new king when God rejected Saul, and he told Samuel to go pick out a new king, and he went to the house of Jesse, the father of David, and the first thing happened was the oldest son, Eliab, the oldest, came, and he was tall, and he was good-looking. I'm telling you, I mean, Samuel saw him. He says, man, that's him. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God says, no, he's not, because God doesn't see like man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Well, we ought to take note of that, amen. Why is it that we treat everybody else differently than we treat ourselves in this sense, that we hold ourselves to a higher standard than God himself holds us to? Why is it we can forgive everybody else, we can't forgive ourselves? Why is it when somebody else does something, we understand it and we pray for them, when we do it, we can't believe we did it because we're so great? Hello. Why is it the thing we're holding against ourselves we've already gotten rid of and get forgiven everybody else for, but we can't forgive ourselves for it? Why is that? Because we're looking at ourselves in the flesh. Hello. Notice how it goes on here. Y'all getting something out of this? Hey, the quicker y'all amen and get into this, the quicker I'll let y'all go home. Oh, yeah, I get them now. Notice what it says, 17 verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? Of course. There's only two places you can be, in Adam, in Christ. In Adam all die, in Christ all made alive. Did you know we were all in Adam at one time, and in Adam we all die? Now, I hope you're not saying, well, I'm in Adam and in Christ. No, you were in Adam, you're now in Christ. Hello? Okay. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. Now, what old things is he talking about? Do you look any different? No. Are you suddenly taller or shorter or have more hair or whatever. No, nothing's changed on the outside, but everything inside has changed. Whatever you were inside, and you were lost, in, you were a sinner, you were lost, and you were dying, and you were dead inside. That's all passed away. Now you're no longer dead. Now you're no longer a sinner. Now you're no longer lost. You passed from darkness to light. Old things inside have passed away, and all things have become new inside. The whole point he's making is not looking at the flesh. He's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about the inside. Things don't change on the outside. You still got to take the garbage out in your house. It'll smell just like in a sinner's house. Are you out there? Still got to get dressed. Still got to brush your teeth. Nothing's changed there. All the change took place in here. So whatever you were in here, you're not that now. Ooh. Okay, so he goes on, says this, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is the message. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, and whatever you've done, if you'll come to Jesus, you can become a new creature. You can become a new man, new woman. You can be saved. You can come out of the mess. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I love that one. That just shocks everybody when you think about it. In fact, that just sounds sacrilegious to even say it, that I've been made the righteousness of God. In fact, really, what gets you even more shocked than that, and what is more astounding than that, is when you say something like this and people think you're a heretic when you say it, but it's just saying what the Word says. If God were standing right here, he wouldn't be any more righteous than I am. I don't even have my righteousness. I have his. I'm not bragging because I have nothing to brag about. I'm not arrogant. I'm just confident. Are you with? There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. I'm confident in God that he meant what he said. I'm bragging on him, and I'm humbling myself under him to say what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is that I have his righteousness, having not mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God that comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would submit to you, if you don't have God's righteousness, you are not going to heaven. Because your righteousness is not good enough to get you to heaven. Only his is. And this is what we've done. We've accepted Jesus and his work and his righteousness, because we couldn't do it and we don't have enough righteousness, and we've taken on his righteousness. That's what Paul said. I don't have my own righteousness. I have his. And that's what he says right here. He says, he that knew no sin. See, he didn't know any sin. He didn't sin. But he took my sin. He became sin for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff. Amen? Yes. Ephesians 4, turn there. This helping anybody? Yes. Okay, well, tell your face. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this coming year. How about you? I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. I'll tell you, we've come a long ways. Too far to quit, I know that. Too many prayers and too many things happened. Too many miracles took place. Too many moves of God to quit now, to give up and stop now. My good, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. 22nd verse. Let's look, a couple of passages here in Ephesians. 22nd verse says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Everybody say the old man. All right, put it off. Which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You need to start thinking differently. You need to start seeing yourself differently. That's what we're talking about. Get your mind renewed. That's what Romans 12:32 says. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if you don't start seeing yourself different, thinking differently according to God's word, then you're going to keep doing what you're doing because, well, you know, that's just the way we are and God understands. Are you out there? I can't help it. That's just the way I am, and God knows how I am. We'll say things like that, and it sounds so religious, and it's just so dumb. What we need to do is renew our minds, and so we'll approve what is the good, perfect and acceptable will of God. We need to renew our minds so we won't be conformed to this world, but we'd be transformed. And if you want to live different and you want to act different, if you want to live like a Christian, then you need to renew your mind about who you are as a Christian and start seeing yourself not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Just like you see Jesus according to the Spirit, you should start seeing yourself according to the Spirit, according to what God has done, not according to what the flesh has done to you. You know, I could look at my family and say, well, they all this way and they all do this and they all have always done that. And so since they've always done that and always been that way, then I guess I'll be that way because I am a Williams. It's my last name, I'm Williams, and that's just what we Williams do. Hello. And we'll often, you know, put fuel to the fire. You know, we'll say, oh, yeah, he's a Williams. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know about those Williams. Don't have to tell me about the Williams. I know about the Williams. Like, we're just, that's what we are. That's what we do. Well, see, now I'm a Christian. Are you out there? And that means I think differently, I act differently, because I am, and I can because I am a Christian. I'm not a sinner, saved by grace. I'm a saint. Hallelujah. Woo! That used to be a sinner. And I'm learning to put off the old man. That's the old man. That's not the new man. That's the old man, okay? Kind of like the Old Testament. This is the New Testament, see? I'm living in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. I'm living in the new man, not the old man. That you put on, and he goes on and says this, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh my goodness, 24th verse. That you put off the old and put on the new. Woo! Often people say, well, if I said I love you, I'd be putting on. Well, it is a put on at first, but you fake it till you make it. You put on love when you don't feel like it. You put on forgiveness when you don't feel like it, because that's who you really are, and the devil's lying to you, and you're buying the lie when you're hating and you're being bitter and you're not living right, because the devil's telling you you can't do anything about that's just the way you are, and you're buying the lie, and you keep reinforcing the lie because you keep doing it. You got to stop doing that and start acting like who you really are. And sometimes you start out acting, but one thing about this, if you'll act it out, you'll become it. I like it. It's not like a movie star that plays all kinds of roles. You know, you see people playing in actors and actresses, and you know, you kind of think they're great and wonderful until you hear them interviewed off camera, you know, off the, and you think, well, he's an idiot. What is that? You know, you think, I really like that guy. He was really great. And then he starts talking and he doesn't have the sense God gave a goat. And you wonder what in the world. Well, what it was, they were acting. And when the show's over, they go back to their own selves. But see, not here. No. Not here. Not in Christianity. If you'll start acting out God's word, if you'll start acting out love when you don't feel like it, if you'll start acting out forgiveness when you don't feel like it, if you'll start yielding yourself to God's word, all of a sudden, you know what? You'll become that. And you don't ever go back to who you were. Hallelujah. You put off the old and you put on the new and you live that thing. Whew, good stuff. Amen. Because that's who you really are. See, that's the thing. You don't realize you're made to love. You're made to forgive. You're made to live holy. You don't understand it because you've been lied to. You've been bamboozled. Are you out there? You were born to succeed, but you've been programmed to fail. The world's programmed you to give up, programmed you to go ahead and give in. And you think that's who you are, and you don't realize that you don't have to do that. And when you finally start doing what God says and start believing what God says, you start realizing this is who I am. This is who I was born to be. I was destined to win. I'm an overcomer. Whosoever believes Jesus is the Christ overcomes the world, the Bible says. Wow. But see, because we're not acting in it, not living in it, not putting off the old man, we're living in deception. We don't know it. We don't understand it. We're having an identity crisis is what we're doing. Okay, he goes on and says this. Hallelujah. This helping you?
Yes.
Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Skip on down 31st verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Well, now, that's kind of a tall order to fill, isn't it? I'm supposed to do this because God did it. I'm not God. Yeah, but you're a child of God. Y'all catch that? Well, how can I do what God does? That's the whole point, isn't it? Put on the new man, which after God was created in righteousness and true holiness. Wow. Yeah, I can do this. In fact, I was born to do this. I was born to imitate God. Notice the next verse, 5th chapter. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Because that's who we are. We're children of God. So we can love. We can live holy. We can live right. See, you've been lied to. You think you can't. That's the lie. The lie is that you can't do what God says you can do. The truth is you can do what God says you can do. Amen? In fact, look at the 8th verse, 5th chapter. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Oh, so I was something, but I'm not that something now, huh? Is that what he's saying? Whatever I was, I'm not now. So what I keep saying, I am what I was. I'm not who I used to be. I'm who I am now. And who I am now, I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good stuff. Man, that's good stuff. That's better preaching. Y'all are amening. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do, and I have what God says I have. Amen? Hey, turn to James. We'll wrap this up. James, the 1st chapter. Boy, I can think of so many verses. Y'all remember that sheet that came down out of heaven in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter was at the house of a man named Simon, who was a tanner, and there were some Gentiles that were coming to his house to see him, to get him to go tell them how to be saved. This guy, Cornelius, in the 10th chapter, was praying, and he had a vision. An angel appeared to him and said, send to Joppa to a house named Simon, a tanner, and there will be a man named Peter there that will tell you words by which you must be saved. And so he sent 3 men over there, all Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And while they were there, you know, Peter's on the housetop, and the sheet comes down with all kinds of unclean animals. And Peter's a Jew who had gotten saved, and he was still keeping the old Jewish laws or Jewish dietary laws. He wasn't eating pork, as it were, and other things. But evidently there was pork on there. There's some old Texas, East Texas wild boar, hog, you know, and all that stuff was in that sheet coming down. And a voice from heaven said, kill and eat, kill and eat. And he says, no, sir, not me. Nothing unclean slipped these lips, you know. He said, I'm kosher. I'm a Jew. I won't eat that. And God said, what God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. And 3 times the sheet came down, and then we woke up. Those guys were at the door, knocking at the door. 3 guys. 3 times, 3 guys. And what God was saying, that I have reached out and I have cleansed the Gentiles. Don't you call them unclean. Well, let me ask you something else. Has he cleansed you? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you doing calling yourself unclean? Because what God has cleansed, we don't need to be calling unclean. Well, I'm just an old sinner. Oh, you're still dirty? Are you with me? You're still unclean? I've been cleansed. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm working on things, and I repent when I sin, and I'm doing my best to live holy. But you know what? I was born to live holy. I was born again to live holy. I have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am now a Christian. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Amen. Woo! Y'all found James? James 1, verse 22. Notice what's, and I love this, because this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. James is that kind of book, you know. It just, it's a rubber meet the road book. It's not against Paul's message of grace. It's not works against grace. It's just practical living out your faith. If you do believe, you're going to live a certain way. I mean, if you do believe, it's going to change the way you think and the way you live. And he talks about laying aside all these different sins. And 22nd verse says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. In other words, if you just hear the word and never do the word, you really can live in deception hearing the word but never doing the word. In other words, you hear what to do, but you don't do it. You're shown the light, but you don't walk in the light. You know, you're shown the way, but you don't walk in the way, as it were. You hear about forgiving and loving and all those things, and you just don't do it. You just do not do it. And it says, if you don't do what you hear, then you deceive yourself. Kind of what we've done. You know, we just keep doing what we're doing because we're just old sinners saved by grace. And we all sin and everybody knows that. So we just keep sinning. And then every week we reinforce it and come back to church and talk about how no good we are and sorry we are, but God loves us. God bless us, you know. And then we next week come back and talk about how worthless we are and unworthy we are. And you know, we're just so unworthy. We're just so worthless. And then next week we come back and we've been sinning all week, but here we are again. You know, but one day we're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah, one day. And we keep reinforcing how we're worthless and so on. Hey, we were worthless, but now he made us worthy. I didn't make myself worthy. He did. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him. I'm not arrogant. I'm confident in this. I'm confident in this one thing, that Jesus paid the price for my sins. I'm confident in this one thing, that he loved me enough to come down to me and take my place and die on a cross for me and conquer hell, death, and the grave and rise again. And I'm confident enough to say to you that I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus, that I'm in Christ and I am alive in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Are you with me? Woo! So he goes on and says this. I just preach myself happy here, okay? He says this. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. He looks into the mirror, and the mirror doesn't lie. The mirror tells the truth. Are you with me? I mean, nobody argues with a mirror, do they? Even when you don't like something, you still, you don't argue with it, you know. I mean, you don't look in there and go, no way, I don't look that bad. No way. No, you get it right. I mean, you look in that mirror and you get it right. The mirror tells you who you are. In this case, the mirror is the Word of God. It tells you who you are. You look into it and you go, yeah, I see that. That's what God says about me. That's who I am. Exactly. That's right. I am a saint. I've been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. I am a child of God. I should follow God. As he forgave, I should forgive. I should be followers of God as dear children. As he is, so am I in this world. Hallelujah. The works he does, I should do. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm seeing myself in here. I'm not just seeing Jesus. I'm seeing myself in here. Hallelujah. And he looks into it, and he beholds his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, if he's just a hearer, not a doer now, it says, 24th verse, for he behold himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. We get in a service like this, we find out who we are, and we walk out, and we forget who we are. And we go back to doing what we did. Why? Because we're sinners? No, because we're saints with a bad memory. Getting it? Because we've got short-term memory loss. Are you out there? We go right out there and do what we just found out we don't have to do anymore because we forgot who we were. We're still looking at ourselves in the flesh instead of in the mirror of God's Word. And we lost the picture. The memory of it is gone. Why? Because we're not doing it. And the more you do it, the more you reinforce it, and the more you keep it in front of you. And it's the doer of the word that's blessed, and that's what he says. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty in this mirror of God's word and continues in it, well, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. Oh, wow, that's so hot. Isn't it good? If I start saying what God says about me, keep reminding myself what God says, start doing what God says to do, because I can, because he said I can, then I'll start realizing who I am. Yes. I mean, the church is in an identity crisis. We're walking around, don't even know who we are. Are you with me? Not this church. I know not the International Outreach Church. I'm talking about a lot of people in church. And we'll stand up, and I mean every single service, we'll get up and say, hello, I'm Bob, I'm an alcoholic. Stand right there in the pulpit and say, hello, I'm Bob, I'm a sinner. We're just all sinners. We're all sinners. No, we were all sinners, but we're saved. And if you're a sinner, you can be a saint. That's what we should be saying. If you're out there and you're still a sinner, you can change your life. You can change your destiny. You can come to Jesus, because Jesus makes saints out of sinners. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, you're in the natural you don't count and you're not worthy. But see, Jesus paid the price so you could be worthy. Why don't you come to Jesus and let Him make you what you were born and destined to be? Until you find Jesus, you never find your destiny. You never find out who you really are. You know, Jacob wrestled all night with God at the River Jabbok when he was coming back. All that time he'd been Jacob. All that time he'd been a supplanter. He'd been a deceiver. That's what the word Jacob means. And he'd been 20 years up north fleeing from his brother Esau because he'd lied to his brother Esau, lied to his dad, you know. And he'd gotten a birthright. And then he got the blessing. And, you know, he was coming back and he deceived his father-in-law even, you know, Laban, when he was up there. But he wrestled with God. And God asked him, he says, Jacob, what's your name? He said, what's your name? He said, I'm Jacob. And he said, no, you're not. And he said, no, your name's Israel. And he never deceived anybody again after that. No record of Jacob ever deceiving anybody. You know why? Because Jacob found out who he really was. Because he spent some time with God. He had an encounter with God. If you don't spend time with God, you won't find out who you are. If you don't spend time in God's Word, you'll go through life thinking you're one thing when you're something else. And the whole world will reinforce it. The whole world will agree with you. Are you with me? They'll all agree with it. There's no problem there at all. In fact, you're going to pick a narrow way if you're going to stand on God's Word and say who God says you are. Abraham, his whole life, there was Abram. And until God changed his name, he didn't have Isaac until God changed his name. Finally, God said, I've had enough of this. You got to get a hold of this, Abraham. You are Abraham. You are the father of many nations. Now, you tell everybody that when they ask you who your name is. You know, let's get this straight because you got an identity crisis. And right then, from then, it wasn't a year, Isaac was born when Abraham found out who he was. See, a lot of what's wrong with us is we just don't know who we are. We're still hanging on to the past. We're still making excuses. We're still looking at ourselves after the flesh. We're not looking ourselves after the Spirit. I'm not going to do that. Are you with me? I've been there. I don't want an encore. I've seen what I could do. I'd rather see what God can do. I've seen what I've done with myself. I'd rather just see what God has done with me. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, around verse 10. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I am not a sinner by the grace of God. I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen.